It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher, Boy Shasky.
Take him out.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Is it? Oh, no! The 49ers might be in some trouble. What a colossal collapse yesterday at Levi's Stadium, losing to the Arizona Cardinals in my lock of the week. And no, nothing's locked up in this year's NFL or college football or high school football, for that matter. Good morning to everybody out there. Get off your graveyard shift, all the overnight dancers. Probably it's a slow night because nobody wanted to come out the house last night after that debacle, after what happened at Berkeley, what happened at Levi's in Santa Clara in 100-degree weather. Oh, it was a disaster as the 49ers dropped to 2-3, 0-2 in the NFC West, 0-3 in the NFC. And look, today's the show, 888-957-9570. And shout out to YouTube, Twitch, and Twitter. Shout out to YouTube. I wish the chat was buzzing today. Trust me, I do. But I'm going to make something clear here today, Shasky, that my trigger finger when it comes to the flush button will be quick today. It will be quick today if you come in with the hot garbage about this guy should be fired, this guy should be benched. I want to have a grown-up philosophical conversation about what's going on with the San Francisco 49ers. So I don't have time for your little nonsense at the kiddie table fighting over tablecloths about this guy not blocking or this, that. No. Let's have a conversation about what the hell is going on with the 49ers. And one thing is, it's evident. And it's proof in the red zone that you miss Christian McCaffrey. Because so far this season, the Niners are 9-22. 9-22 in the red zone. They've got problems in the red zone, and it's directly correlated with the absence of Christian McCaffrey. But there's a lot to get into, Shasky. I can't wait for this one. Oh, I'm fired up for this show.
This one just is so frustrating because they got body bagged in the second half. Like, there's no other way around it. You got out hit, and you didn't hit anybody other than arm tackling. If I watch Malik Mustafa and Campbell and even, look, the great Fred Warner, who just looked a little compromised yesterday, all of these great players on defense either not showing up with no pressure whatsoever or arm tackling. James Conner, a.k.a. the Terminator, was destroying them yesterday.
Was it John Conner the Terminator?
Yeah, but that's just James Conner. That's just the nickname that the Steeler fans gave him. Right. No, but the point being is that that guy in the second half, they said 77 yards. If you told me 177 yards, I would have believed you. Yeah. He was a wrecking ball in the second half. And then Kyler Murray, that touchdown design where they did the fake run, jump up and throw, it was Tebow-like.
Oh, yes.
He was unbelievable yesterday. There were some horrific angles. But to me, this isn't even on. Like, the defense had moments where they got stops on short-sided fields. This is a combination loss here. When it combo loss.
You're calling it a buffet?
They got
a Sizzler special?
They got outcoached in the second half, and they got out-executed and out-hit. Like, that's what happened. The Cardinals came and played a full 60-minute game, and the Niners didn't. And we could talk about the kicker not being available. This, well, then situational football. That whole drive, after they get the field goal on the Purdy interception. So Purdy gets the ball tipped. He's late. He was going to throw a pick to Kittle because he was late in the flat anyway, whether it got tipped or not. No one wants to admit it, but that's what was going to happen. And then the defense got to stop. They got a field goal. You get the ball back. You march down. Bonte, I'm looking at seven straight sick plays.
And are you talking about on the final drive for Arizona?
No. It's 23-13. Okay.
All right.
It's in the third quarter after you get a field goal stop. The defense got the stop. Seven straight big plays. You get down to, I don't know, the 24-yard line. And then you get stuffed. And then it's second and nine. and Juwan Jennings has a false start, and it totally ruins. Yep. And they just short circuit. Yeah. And then Purdy gets another pass tipped.
He gets sacked.
Well, I thought he was thrown into triple coverage anyway, so I don't even know. Well, and then he holds the ball forever, and you're forced to go for it because you don't have the kicker. That whole sequence, we can talk about the quarterback. We can talk about decision making. Maybe the coach dialing up a draw or something, understanding that, hey, I don't have my kicker available. That sequence right there ended up being monster for this team. And obviously the Jordan Mason fumble down the stretch. Why is Ronnie Bell even in the game?
Hold on. There's so many questions. And there's so many guys to get into. I could get into Nick Sorensen, but I'm not going to start there. Because I know Steve Wilkes' defense, whether we laughed at him or not. Whether we like him or tackling. Not. Well, Nick Bosa was talking about second half adjustments. When Steve Wilkes, even during the three-game losing streak, when Steve Wilkes, everybody wanted him out of town. Minnesota, they gave up 6 points in the second half. They were shutting out Cincinnati going into the fourth quarter. Cleveland scored 19 points at all. What Nick Sorensen is doing, I don't know, but it looks pretty predictable when you send blitzes. It looks pretty predictable when guys run RPOs and you can't get a stop. It looks pretty predictable when you give up at least 7 yards of carry in the second half and miss me with the heat because both teams played the heat. And the Niners had the ball for 38 minutes. So offensively, this was a colossal disaster. Again, you're not, when you continue to settle for field goals and you don't score touchdowns in this league, you will get beat over and over and over again.
And like, I'm looking at all their red zone opportunities, but before the kicker even went down.
9 of 22 overall this season in red zone.
But here's what I don't understand. And look, they did what I wanted. They ISO'd Kittle early in the game and tried to throw him a little fade. They tried to run that little short stream. Ayuk is cooking. This is his best game in forever. He's cooking, and he doesn't get a red zone look.
No, it's a colossal disaster.
He doesn't get a red zone look. Debo on a milk carton in this game, and I thought Jordan Mason, until the fumble, was cooking as well. It just, the red zone stuff, I don't even know what to make of it.
It's 9 of 22. No, I tell you what to make of it.
I don't know what to make of it.
It's not adjusting without Christian McCaffrey, because what Christian McCaffrey does in the red zone, a certain guy's just got a nose for the end zone. Like, I look at Lamar Jackson, for example. He's got a nose for the end zone. King Henry, Derrick Henry, he's got a nose for the end zone. You know what I'm saying? There's certain guys who's got a nose, so that's where I'm going with CMC. You could put him in a slot. You can line them out wide. You get a matchup nightmare on a linebacker. You run the Texas routes. You run the flat out routes. You do whatever you got to do. But Christian McCaffrey has a nose for the end zone. They are missing that element with Christian McCaffrey. There's no doubt about it. Jordan Mason's been running great. There's no doubt he's running great. He's trucking dudes, but you can't fumble inside the 10-yard line when you have an opportunity to.
I agree.
You got to take care of the football. And now all the Twitter coaches and everybody out there trying to coach and say, you know, blame Juszczyk for the missed block. Well, initially he made his block. Buda Baker and number 7 came in flying in the hole. It's so.
Well, you know me on personnel. When I saw Ronnie Bell out there, I go, there's no way they're passing. Yeah. There's no. The minute I saw Ronnie Bell walk onto that field, because I'm big on like red zone personnel groupings, right. I was like, you have Ayuk, Debo, and Jennings, and Ronnie Bell is on the field. Now, this is what I know. You know, it's hot, and I don't even want to hear it. I don't even want to hear it. And I'm not even trying to rip Ronnie Bell. I'm just saying, when the defense sees him on the field, you know what they're thinking? There's no way in hell you're passing the ball. Look at that personnel grouping they had on that play.
It was terrible. I saw it. But
Juice,
still, everybody's got
Ronnie Bell.
But Juice.
And he still
Juice,
should fumble. I'm not
Juice,
trying to make an
Juice
excuse.
Juice made his block. Kittle, I don't know if he missed his block or what happened on that play, but Jordan, here, that's on Jordan Mason. You've got to take care of the football.
I agree.
But we start with the top. When it comes to the 49ers, we start with the top. We start with the head coach, and we start with the quarterback. Now, a lot of people are tired of Shanahan or whatnot, and I'm not tired of Shanahan. Players got to execute.
I'm frustrated.
I'll
be real with you. I'm pretty frustrated.
But I look at the quarterback saying, you got to take – he's trying to hit the home run at times a little too much with Brock Purdy.
Totally.
He's trying to hit the home run a little too much. You got to get rid of the ball. You don't need to scramble around like you're Doug Flutie or Roger Staubach every single play. Like you said, the drop back passing game was working yesterday. Would I like to see a little more play action? Absolutely, I would like to see a little more play action. But let's be real. When you look at the numbers here, just the raw data of the football game, they had no business losing yesterday. They had no business. Now, on the final drive when Arizona got the ball and Jordan Mason fumbled, I said, this is a disaster.
Ponte.
And 4th and 5, Kyler Murray, you got to tip your cap. 4th and 5, and we played the call, Kevin Burkhardt coming in on Fox Sports alongside Tom Brady. 4th and 5, but, and the Niners, and hold on, let me finish. This is the difference. Now, the Niners showed a cover zero blitz. I think Fred Warner was a linebacker who dropped back into covers, but they still sent five, and Murray throws it off his back foot to Marvin Harrison Jr., who was on the milk carton as well. That was only his second catch in the game, but it was a hell of a catch on an out route, and he throws it up, and Isaac Yadam's on him. The Cardinals, conversely, when Brock Purdy throws his end-of-game interception and he gets the ball tipped,
yeah,
the Cardinals are in a zero blitz. And for the life of me, why can't the Niners block up a Kevin? Guys sent six on the 49ers, and for the last 5 years, the 49ers have yet to figure out how to navigate against a cover zero blitz. They may be the only team with one of the greatest offensive minds we've seen over the last 10 years with Kyle Shanahan that just can't function on the cover zero blitz. And Purdy gets his ball tipped. Kittle's wide open in a flat. That's going to be a first down. He's going to get out of bounds. Game over.
But this goes back to what Brady was talking about during the game and what Kyle has said for years now. He doesn't want quarterbacks making protection calls at the line. So, like, to your point about, like, all these tip passes and all these free-release blitzers and all that stuff, like, Kyle believes, and this is just the way they run offense, yeah, is
it's not good.
I don't want my quarterback making those calls. And Brady said it during the broadcast, and we'll pull the sound at some point. Yeah, I don't want anything to be simplified. As the quarterback, I don't want anything simple. I want everything on my plate. I want to be able to be the one, because I'm the one out there throwing the ball, and I'm the one out there under duress, so I want to be able to have more control. So that's a Kyle scheme thing, not a broad. But Brock wasn't good in this game.
We'll stop right there with Brady. This is why when it came back to Brady coming to the San Francisco 49ers, and what did I initially say about that?
I had questions
about whether or not it will work between Kyle and Brady. Kyle wants full control. He wants full autonomy. Brady, you hear him in the broadcast booth last night, and we see how his career played out. He wants full control in the huddle, and he wants full control at the line of scrimmage. So how that worked out, that's why it's not shocking to me anymore that Kyle said no to Tom Brady and kept Jimmy Garoppolo around because he wants full control. And Brock Purdy, you notice, he's ready for more on his plate. Brady's talking about Kyler Murray, and I'm reading about Caleb Williams, and I'm watching Caleb Williams get better and better by the week. The number one overall pick for the Chicago Bears. He's getting better and better by the week. And you know what they're doing, Matt Eberflus and company? They're putting a little more on his plate. He's having a little more control at the line of scrimmage. Brock Purdy can handle it. Give him some control at the line of scrimmage so we don't, for the life of me, cover zero blitz. If you want to defeat the Niners in four wide formations or five wide formations, just send a cover zero blitz because the 49ers offense and their philosophy don't seem to have an answer for cover zero blitzes.
Well, it's interesting that you bring up that one Kyler play at the end because it was a brilliant play. I think for me, the part that I loved about that play schematically is let's ISO this guy on the left-hand side, and we know even if the blitz comes, I'm going to have enough room to lob one up to him in a one-on-one situation, and I'm giving my guy enough chance. Like I just thought the spacing, everything was set up, and that's high IQ from Kyler Murray, knowing if I lob this bad boy up, there's nobody going to come. It's a one-on-one play. My guy's going to box him out. The guy that we're not, I mean, James Conner was awesome. Wilson kicked their butt, too. I thought Wilson, number 14, the wide receiver, was excellent in this game. And then Kyler, first quarter, I've never seen a player go bye-bye from the 45-yard line.
Well, you never seen a player do that?
Line of scrimmage.
I've seen players do that all the time.
At the line of scrimmage?
But you know
he
what?
He went bye-bye at the line of scrimmage.
Five yards down the field, he went bye-bye.
I couldn't believe it.
Tyreek Hill does that as well. But
yeah, look, you're right. Tyreek does. But quarterbacks?
Yeah, quarterbacks. It's not good. So I'm looking at the team stats here. I'm looking at the team stats of the 49ers. 32 minutes and 58 seconds of time of possession. But in the second half, they get shut out. They get shut out now. Losing your kicker. Losing your kicker forced you to go for that 4th and 23.
But there's that sequence. I've got it right
here. I know. The whole sequence is bad. But it forced you to go for it at 4th and 23 from the Arizona 27-yard line. Moody's healthy. That's a 44-yard kick. Moody's healthy. It's 26-13. Moody's healthy. You may have a shot to win this football game. But you lost Jake Moody. And I see people. This is how you know when people don't play football or never play football or don't understand. Well, maybe you should have your kicker try to tackle. Well, what did you want to do? You want the guy to return a kickoff to the house?
Dallas is the only guy who has a return touchdown on that kickoff play all year.
Right.
Okay? I'm sorry. This is unfortunate. It sucks. It got hurt. You have to make a play there.
You got to make a play.
I mean, what do you want to do? And if he doesn't, you know, we're saying, oh, the kicker's got to make a play there.
Yeah, exactly.
Good break. No, it's unfortunate. It sucks that it happened, but that's football. Here's the thing I wanted, and I know they asked him in the postgame. They were like, how far can Wisnowski actually kick a kick? What was your... On the final drive, where were you trying to get to? And they were like, to the 15. Like, we're thinking we got to get down to the 10 or the 15.
Would have been an extra point, basically.
But like, I'm just thinking to myself, like, and this is just a bigger football question. I mean, you got to be prepared for these things, and you got to 15. I don't even know if that's a fair question. What?
You want two kickers on a roster?
No, I just, maybe we should be practicing a little more with the punter kicking field goals. I don't know. No, I'm asking like big picture as like an NFL guy. I don't know. Like when I saw Juice laughing at it around on the sidelines in the middle of that game when they're up 10, he's like goofing around kicking the, and he's like laughing and the crowd's giving him stuff, and I'm thinking, guys, this is still a game. Why are we goofing around on the sidelines?
Oh,
and I'm not trying to make too much of it. I'm just saying, like, there's this aura of arrogance from this team that has been lingering for a long time. And it's no wonder that the hungrier team in the second half yesterday, in the sweltering heat, came in and body bagged them late. They body bagged them. How many missed tackles on the final three drives?
Well, no, how many missed tackles at all? 16 missed tackles, Lovman. 16 missed tackles.
Can our safeties cover?
I got bigger questions. You guys see me in the thread. I want a ball hawking safety so bad because safeties can't cover. I've been yelling for a cover safety. Hufanga's hurt again, which has me questions about his long-term future with the San Francisco 49ers. Another injury for Hufanga. He's been hurt three times already. He just got back. So we can't stay healthy. Look, the heat was a problem for the fans. You saw a lot of people ducking for shade or whatnot.
It was a factor, but for both teams.
But you know what? I look at my big money players on the final drive, and I'm watching T.J. Watt last night.
Oh, well.
And I'm watching guys all over the league make big time plays to close out a game. The New York Giants sacked Geno Smith 7 times yesterday. So Thursday, when they do play Seattle, I don't want to hear anything about not getting sacks, because Geno Smith got sacked 7 times by Burns, Thibodeau, Lawrence, and whoever was up there playing for the New York Giants. Where was my money players on the final drive?
Bosa was, I watched the game back again this morning. Bosa was not, he made the great play on the screen pass. He was non-existent. Leonard Floyd was nearly non-existent.
I haven't heard Leonard Floyd's name since week one.
And Fred Warner, to me, it was courageous that he played. He wasn't the same. I'm not trying to rip Fred.
He was compromised.
And I'm giving him credit for even suiting up. Malik Mustafa missed a million tackles.
Oh, my God.
I mean, the Hufanga angle Hufanga. He took on the Kyler Murray play, all I kept thinking about was Baldy saying, when you're playing safety, you have to stay back between the man and the ball, and you can't allow a guy. He came flying in late.
He has not been good this year.
He has been not good at all.
He's losing money. He's losing money. Let's
Jair
be real.
Brown made a couple of plays in coverage.
Jair Brown's stiff. He's stiff in pass coverage. I need more from him, but let's be real, too. Devondre Campbell's been awful.
Well, he needs to not play.
He's been a big F. And D. Winters is coming. I'm sorry. Devondre Campbell, if Drake Greenlaw gets back here and he's healthy, the 49ers may straight up just cut Devondre Campbell. I'm dead serious. He may just get cut. I mean, it is not good right now with number 59. So it's not good with the 49ers. They're 2-3. But I got a positive for everybody. Oh, Bonte Hill. Businessman Bonte.
Are you serious?
You can count on me. If they win on Thursday and Arizona loses to Green Bay, you're tied for first place in the NFC West. So I'm not going all doom and gloom. I'm not all going doom and gloom in the first week of October. Am I saying there's issues with the football team? You damn right there's issues with the football team. I have no idea where you're going to find a pass rush from. Can't go out and buy that. They don't grow on trees. You can't find another defensive coordinator because Nick Sorensen looks lost right now. And I don't know what's going on with him. All the people who wanted Steve Wilkes out, we shouldn't be careful what we wish for. However, we got issues. But with the win on Thursday, we're feeling good on Friday, aren't we?
I'll think about that Thursday morning. Today it's situation critical.
For you. Oh, I'm here for it. 888-957-9570 is the number. Shout out to our great friends at Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. Got a feeling we're going to use that dump button a lot today. That flush button, I mean. If you're going to call it to the roast, you better bring it, because if you don't, you'll be flushed. Brought to you by Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. What's coming up on the game? Brought to you by Crystal Geyser Alpine Spring Water. Your phone calls, Niner fans. What went wrong? What are you angry about this morning? Niners dropped to 2-3. They get shut out in the second half by the Arizona Cardinals, who had 40-plus dropped out of the week before, and they had nobody playing. What's going on with the Niners?
Came out of the pile with it.
I think in all of our losses, the preparation we've had has been great, but teams are playing us different and doing things differently, and we need to adjust a little better. Just showing different looks and kind of than what we were looking at on tape. So just got to adjust and get them down.
This is Oreo Cookie from Oakland, California, and it's plain to see, can't change me because I'm going to be a roaster for life.
That's Kevin Burkhardt on the call. And you know what? That was Nick Bosa you just heard from after the game talking about adjustments. And, you know, teams are playing this differently and we need to adjust. So another year and another Nick Bosa soundbite throwing coaching staffs under the bus. And you know what? I'm quite tired of it because last year, Shanahan allowed it to happen. He allowed Bosa, Warner, and multiple players to throw Steve Wilks under the damn bus. And it was criminal. You don't do that publicly. But they did it anyway, and the fans ate it up, and everybody went, had their pitchforks out for Steve Wilks. And I don't even say Steve Wilks is great. He had to go. I get it. He had to go. But here we go again after another tough loss, hearing from a guy who held out of training camp, showed up 3 days before the Pittsburgh Steelers game, entered the bye week saying, hey, you know, I'm still experimenting. I'm still working out some of my moves. Had 3 sacks going into the bye week after signing a 5-year, $170 million contract extension with the $122.5 guaranteed 58 signing bonus. And I got to hear from number 97, Nick Bosa, throwing his staff under the bus once again. How about you beat a double team? How about you make an impact play in the fourth quarter? How about you do something, Nick Bosa? How about you play the run? How about you not dive in on the RPO to head cutoff, which allows Kyler Murray to run one for 45, 50 yards? I am so over Nick Bosa just making excuse after excuse and throwing people under the bus. I'm sick of it. How about you go out there and make a play? $170 million, man. How about you go make a play? 2 years in a row, and I got to hear this guy make an excuse about the coaching staff to throw them under the bus? Nah, that ain't, I'm not flying with that. How about Nick Bosa on Thursday night against Seattle, where Brian Burns and Thibodeau and Lawrence went up there and dominated? How about you go get a couple sacks for me, Nick Bosa, and make sure, can I get a pass rush at number 97? I'm sorry, dude. That bugs me a lot when I hear this guy, the highest paid player on the team, talk about adjustments. How about you make an adjustment and get after the damn quarterback or stop the damn run? Come on, Bosa, be better.
I agree that he needs to play better, but I'm being dead serious. Is he wrong? This team has failed to adjust. I'm not saying he should say it. I think what you're making, the bigger point you're making is I agree with, right? Which is like, stop doing this. Stop airing out the dirty laundry of the locker room. I agree with. Is he wrong, though? In the sense of, like, I haven't seen a lot of adjustments. Like, whatever happened in the second half, they did run the ball right down our throat. They did get whatever they wanted in that play action, that little boot and throw. We didn't really adjust offensively. It felt like we couldn't finish drives. And you can say, Joe, they didn't have the kicker or whatever. Like, they kept stalling out before the kicker got hurt. They kept stalling out.
1-6 in the red zone yesterday.
I feel like Ayuk is being used only between the 20s and not inside the red zone. And I'm like, well, wait a minute here. Like, he's cooking. Yesterday, was he not cooking? It was the best he's looked in forever. And he looked like he had juice in his legs. He was making contested catches. He was, you know, using separation. Brady is highlighting his stem to cut route, how he created 4 yards of separation. And I'm like, get that guy the ball.
I'm sorry. I got to focus on Bosa for a second. Pardon me. Because when it's time for winning time to make a play and impact the football game and make something happen, he didn't make anything happen. Instead, I saw the Terminator gobble up 7 yards a pop in the second half and ran with authority. Okay? Ran with authority. And Arizona had no teams. They don't care about running at Nick Bosa. Other teams, I see the Cowboys and other teams, they see T.J. Watt. They see Myles Garrett. They see some of these other pass rushers, and they're like, oh, boy. Oh, we're not running that way. I get it, the adjustments, Nick Sorensen, but you know what? When Nick Bosa throws the previous defense coordinator under the bus.
That's fair.
And now you got Sorensen, who players said, oh, yeah, we're okay with Sorensen or whatnot. I don't want to hear from you. I don't want to hear. He's just throwing another guy under the bus. What do you want, Bosa? You got all the money. You held out of camp. You held the Niners hostage. You got $122.5 million guaranteed. Then you said you had a down year. You came here to the OTAs to make good. And how many sacks does he have? 2, 3? What is he doing?
And it feels like nothing in the fourth quarter.
I get it with Sorensen.
Yeah.
Trust me, I'm not a Sorensen fan.
Yeah.
I'm not. I don't see any exotic blitzes. I don't see any exotic coverage. It looks pretty predictable.
But I don't think the personnel's great on defense. Like, I'm telling you right now, like, this defense is not a championship-level defense. It's just not.
It's not.
They don't have linebackers. Right now, their safeties can't cover. The secondary that I thought was going to be elite coming into the season, it just hasn't materialized. D'Amador Lenore is. I think D'Amador Lenore is a hell of a player.
He's balling.
Charvarius Ward looks a step slow, and, you know, Yadam made a couple of plays. He's not on my list of people to prioritize right now. Pass rush is horrible. And stopping the run has been horrible. And the linebackers haven't been great. And the safeties aren't good. I think it's an old, slow defense that needs a full revamp. But that being said, to me, the offense didn't deliver in the second half. Both didn't play well. I thought the D did enough to win the game. You scored 6 on a block kick, for crying out loud. 16 points is not enough for my offense. When Kittle's making top dollar, Debo's making top dollar, Purdy wants to make top dollar, you know? Trent Williams wants to make top dollar every single year, it feels like. Ayuk came to play yesterday. No one would
deny
that. His
route running was excellent yesterday.
Yeah, he was amazing. Excellent. The last guy I'm going to identify is Ayuk. But Jordan Mason ran hard.
But you know what? In a game like that for Brendan Ayuk, where in the first half he had 6 catches for 115 yards on 7 targets, so the efficiency was up for Brendan Ayuk, which was the case last year.
And one of them was an airmail by Purdy.
Right, yeah, which was great.
Yeah.
But he walks out of the game with only 8 catches or 147. So
not
he gets
enough.
5 more targets in the second half and just 1 catch on those. And Purdy was off yesterday. Let's be real. Purdy was off yesterday.
No, he held the ball for too long, and people are going to say, well, they were dropping coverage. On the tip pass, the first tip pass interception,
right.
The first one, he had Kittle, and Kittle's like this.
Oh, I know.
And he waited. Again, he's a shorter quarterback, and this is the reality of playing it. And I like him. You know I'm a big Brock Purdy fan. I'll cape up for him. We all are. I'm saying, like, the people listen. Like, you know I'll cape up for him.
No.
But yesterday he didn't play good, and I thought he missed Kittle in the flat early. Then he tried to, like, step up in the pocket and throw to him. It got tipped. I thought the linebacker was going to come and at least bat it down, if not intercept it, had he did not get tipped on that play.
Let's get to the Lions, man.
Purdy did not play well yesterday.
No, he didn't play well at all. 38 minutes into the show, I got to get to the lines. Go to Chris in Nashville. Chris, what's happening?
Hey, morning, guys.
Morning.
Love the show. Happy to be on. So I just wanted to talk real quick about that first touchdown by Kyler Murray. I'm not sure if you noticed, but the 49ers had their 4 linebackers stacked behind their line. All 4 of them bit on that play action. I've coached football for 23 years. That is a high school, high-level youth football play. And he was gone. He knew he scored the minute he got around them.
Yep.
And everybody, but when that happened, I said, this might be a tough day today. Now, we had a great first half, but being blanked in the second half, that was brutal.
Brutal.
Good call, Chris.
Good call.
Just absolutely right. Everybody bit. Campbell bit. Warner bit. Bosa bit. Hufanga. Hufanga's ankle.
Hufanga. He's pronouncing it. I don't know.
Hufanga, man. It's simple. Hufanga. He's been on the team for like 4 years, three years, whatever it is.
5 different ways.
Let's go to Abraham at Sacramento. Abraham, what's happening?
Hey, man. Thanks for taking my call. Really happy to be on the call here. But, man, there's so many. You guys are just talking it up. You guys are hitting all the points. I don't even know where to start, but I'm going to just say, I'll go with this. The offense that wants to get paid like they're the best thing in the league, they didn't show up. They didn't do their job. But you know what? Well, however we got there, we got with double digits late in the second half. You need to be able to protect that lead, and our defense wasn't there. Nick Sorensen, I mean, come on. When the high school coach is telling you right now that you're playing these plays that shouldn't be played, I mean, you got to make those adjustments. I completely agree. Bosa, don't make those calls. You need to be there since day one, because we know in the fourth quarter, T.J. Watt's going to show up. Where are you? We need to say he's going to show up in the fourth quarter, and we're going to win this game, and we just can't say that right now. So, Nick Sorensen, I knew we could. It was going to be tough to lose Wilkinson, but you can't just run it back and expect that something wasn't going to. We needed a little change, but I don't know if Sorensen was the right change.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if he was the right change, and I don't know if this game. When I think about Leonard Floyd, I think about these guys coming over, trying to rush the passer. Maybe the scheme doesn't fit Leonard Floyd. Because I haven't heard Leonard Floyd's name since week 1 Monday Night Football against the New York Jets. And he's a guy I was excited about. I was like, damn, we got Leonard Floyd? Leonard Floyd, who's had double-digit sacks the last 4 years, who's been a solid player for the Rams and the Bills. But he's been on a milk carton. So maybe the scheme is outdated. Maybe the scheme doesn't fit Bosa anymore. I have no idea. But something's got to change defensively. Because this ain't flying, Shasky. This ain't flying. When they needed a stop in the second half, they couldn't get a stop. They went back and Burkhart and Brady knew it. They went to Terminator and they went to Connor. And he got 6.5 yards a pop and punked the Niners.
Well, I want to sit here and say like, oh, the return of Dre Greenlaw will change everything. That's asking a lot for a guy coming off of a torn Achilles, number one. And number two, they've got deeper issues than just one linebacker spot. Like the whole defensive line just looks subpar, and the back end safeties look like they look like chicken kebabs out there. I mean, everybody's looking to get a bite, right? Am I wrong? I mean, how many times are they going to test these guys deep?
I mean, it's unbelievable.
Dude, I'm telling you, Wilson had a great game. Number 14 was awesome.
He balled out. He balled out. No, Marvin Harrison Jr. was not a factor, and it did not matter. Did not matter. All right, more coming up on the Russ. 888-957-9570. By the way, big changes coming to the Giants. Make sure you subscribe to Garlic Fries and Baseball, guys.
I mean, you couldn't even say it without me laughing.
So that you do not miss out on the bench.
I love how he squeezed that in there.
In the Bay Area. You guys, y'all don't want to talk. Hey, I bring up Cal Berkeley, and everybody wants to blame the targeting call. Oh, yeah, the targeting call is the reason why they blew a 25-point lead Saturday night at Cal Berkeley. What about the guy who false started on 3rd and 7 to make it a 3rd and 12? I don't know.
It was a tough weekend for me. Reardon blew a 21-point lead.
Oh, my God.
Lead.
I watched that game. That was unbelievable.
Cal
shout out to
blew
Sadie
a 20-point lead.
Shout out
and
to
then
Sadie
the Niners
Nations.
Blew this.
Hey, let me tell you. Let me tell you something. Sadie, all right, on the other side. I got it, Lubbin, damn it. Who cares? The hell? I'm getting it in now. Soren Hummel, the quarterback for Sadie Nations, that kid is tough as nails. That kid's got moxie. That kid knows how to face adversity. What a comeback for the Cats. The cardiac Cats of Sadie Nations. More coming up brought to you by Fremont Bank. Celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises.
What up? This is Turtle Pie Turtle from Frisco. If you're anything like me, you're getting hella roasted every day on the Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky on 95.7 The Game. Yee!
All right, here we go. Here we go. Segment sponsored by Go to State Lumber, serving the Bay Area for 3 generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoToStateLumber.com. Shout out to everybody on YouTube, Twitch, and Twitter. That is brought to you by, where's my papers at right here, Shasky? My stuff's all over the place. I don't even know.
Let me set it up then.
No. I was going to set it up. I just need a damn read here. I don't even know where's everything at. All right, I don't have those papers.
I'm watching this team, and like, they have a lot of high-profile players. They're like, some of them are legends, like legends in the game. They're just not playing and gelling like a team to me that needs to be taken serious, and I want to throw the SB word right out the window. This has got, like, similar to, like, the Warriors, we did, like, a championship, and it made sense, like, when you have championship-caliber players, but then once you see the season unfold, you're like, all right, well, wait a minute, they've got some flaws here that I don't even think are correctable by schematics. I think that there's just a personnel issue and there's just a lot going on. And I look at the offensive side of the ball, they've got a really good running back in Jordan Mason. And I thought, like, walking away from that game, maybe they got away from Jordan Mason. But, like, I watched the game back, and I'm thinking, I thought it was the appropriate balance of throws to runs.
Yeah, I did, too.
Their passing game just looked weird yesterday. It was very off outside of Ayuk.
I thought Purdy was off. Let's be real.
No, I agree.
I thought it was one of Purdy's worst games,
but
to be honest
Kittle
with you.
Kittle had a huge drop, and then it gets completely erased by a great Jordan Mason run.
Right.
So everyone's losing their mind on the Kittle drops. Like, well, the very next play was a great run by Jordan Mason, but he's got to catch that ball.
I honestly thought it was one of Purdy's worst games, considering who he is. Purdy, I put Purdy in that top five, top seven echelon when it comes to quarterbacking. I think Purdy has been really, really good.
Yeah, he didn't play.
But yesterday, he's trying to hit the home run. He's holding the ball too long. Then he's scrambling all over the place. He's not hitting his checkdowns. You don't need to get the chunk play every time. Little checkdowns. Brady's in the booth. Brady made it living to just give me the 7, give me the 6, give me the 5, give me the 4. Early on, down the distance was a problem for the 49ers. They faced a couple 3rd and 10s right off the rip. And I'm thinking to myself, this offense isn't built to be rallying from 3rd and 10 deficits. So holding on to the ball, making things happen. Now, you can say in the scramble drill, somebody's got to break open or whatnot. But you're scrambling. You're going all over the place. And when you scramble, it didn't look like Purdy was scrambling with his eyes down the field.
No.
Looked like he was scrambling, looking at the defenders in front of him. And then he was putting place in his eyes down the field. I don't think it was a great game for Brock Purdy. I'm being kind here.
No,
I don't think it was a good game at all for Brock Purdy yesterday, and that's being very, very kind.
Well, they get down to the six, the first drive of the game. They get down to the six, or I guess technically second drive because they went three and out to start the game, and he was airmailing guys on that first drive. They get down to the six, and then it's a predictable Jordan Mason run for his first carry of the game, and then he throws one to Kittle. They ISO Kittle. And I like the play design. He just kind of airmails Kittle. Yeah. And I don't know, maybe Kittle should come down with it. Then on the next play, third and six from the six, he rolls to his left, the short side. There's nowhere to go with it, and he gets sacked.
Yep.
And I just felt like that was kind of like a microcosm of the whole day where he's holding on to the ball. They had an opportunity, a small one, to score a touchdown with Kittle. I don't know. It's a little off. It's a little high, whatever. And like every other red zone trip outside of the touchdown to Kittle, it just felt like they were a tick off.
They were.
And then, like, late in the game, I want to go to the most important play of the game to me. They get the field goal. It's 23-13, all right? 23-13. They get the ball back. It's 9:59 to go. They go on a big drive. Seven straight great plays. Isaac Arendo up the middle for a first down for 5 yards. And then it's a Jordan Mason one-yard gain. Okay, you're stuffed. It's second and nine. Second and nine. Shotgun. Penalty on Juwan Jennings for a false start. It's backed up. It's second and 14. And then Purdy is sacked for a 9-yard loss. It was awful. It was an awful, awful, awful play. And
was that the biggest false start this weekend in the Bay Area? Because your boy from Cal on 3rd and 7 false started to set up a 3rd and 12, and him and Dozier got rocked, where they had to review the targeting or whatnot, which I didn't think was targeting personally, but let me not say that too loud because I don't want people coming after me. But false starting will set you back.
So they go from 2nd and 9 at the 13 to 2nd and 14 at the 18. Yeah. Okay, they're at the 18. Now, the coach tells us in postgame, hey, we think Wisnowski, because you don't have the kicker at this point, and you just need points. You need to just answer the field goal, because on the prior drive, you got intercepted, and the defense held. They held serve. They gave up the field goal. All right, fine. No big deal. You got to understand, if we're going to go game manager, and I love Purdy, part of being a game manager is, all right, my kicker isn't available. The last thing I can do is lose yards in this situation. And even though it's only a 20-yard field, or I guess at the 20, it's a 37-yard field goal, I don't think the punter can kick that.
Well, so that play started at the 18-yard line, so that would have been a 35-yard field goal.
Okay, 35, 37, 35.
So second and 14 at the Arizona 18-yard line.
He held the ball for too long.
Well, he held the ball for like 11 seconds. He scrambled all over the place. Finally, that big D tackle from Arizona just smacked the living hell out of him. And that's, you know, you're facing a 3rd and 23 from the Arizona 27. Now, even with that scenario, maybe you get 10 yards from the 17. Maybe Wisnowski can kick it. Maybe if you get 10, but on 3rd and 23, and complete the Brandon Ayuk.
Well, and I thought on that play, it gets tipped. Ayuk was triple covered.
I know.
So, like, I don't even know if that pass makes it to Ayuk. I don't know. Whatever. But to me, you had to get 7, 8, 9 yards there. Like, that was hey, we're going to cut this in half, right? We got to cut it. But that's the sequence for me. The Mason stuffed, full start. Purdy sacked right there. That's a horrible play. Horrible. He knows this. He held the ball for way too long. Horrible. And then he sipped. And then on the 4th and 23, I mean, you're not going to get up. You're not going to convert on 4th and 23. But why are you throwing short of the sticks?
Well, you got, there's, I mean, throw
what
it
are we
up.
Doing?
I don't know.
No, that was a bad sequence.
That was a bad sequence. That was a bad sequence.
And that, to me, was the game. No. And then they come down and obviously score. They score a
nice
touchdown.
Nice little T-ball play right there.
That was the 49ers
under Kyle Shanahan. I guess this is just regular season because they have blown some 10-point leads into the fourth quarter in the Super Bowl.
Twice.
In the NFC Championship game. But in the regular season, they were 38-0 when leading by 10-plus points entering the fourth quarter. 38-0.
Oh, God.
38-1 now. 38-1 now. Let's go to Troy and Clayton. Troy, they will get the Nick of Berkeley and Rhea and Lancaster. 888-957-9570 is the number. You sound like Brady right now.
Because Troy, I'm so Clayton. Exasperated.
Troy and Clayton, what's happening?
Hey guys, good morning. I'm on the freeway just commuting into work into Richmond, and when I listen to you guys every morning, and when I jumped in the car this morning, you came in hot and you were on Bosa, and it's funny because my 18-year-old son is a huge Niner fan, big Bosa fan, and rightfully so, right? And so he was defending Nick last night after the game, and I said, look, buddy, here's the deal. I've been a sales guy my entire professional life, and when you've got the vice president of, a weird analogy, when you've got the vice president of sales in the building, that means to me, that guy's raising his hand as and I'm the best sales guy in the building. You need a big fat deal closed, you bring me. When it's 3rd and 18, and the Cardinals convert and they're driving, the Niners are in a tough spot. When it's 3rd and 18 and you get to the quarterback, you're in a good spot. That's a pivotal part of the game.
Yes.
And at that point, to me, you take accountability and you don't say scheme, double team, all that. You get it done. That's it. And I was using other weird analogies. Right. Like, I mean, my kid knows about, you know, Jerry Rice, you know, Steve Young, Joe Montana, Bill Ring even. And I use those examples of, you know, Jerry Rice was a guy, and this is another kind of, it's easy to make that example because, you know, Jerry's Jerry, but it doesn't mean it's not true when you use that example in that. Back then, when the Niners were in tight games then too, everybody in the opposing secondary knew that Joe's going to throw the ball to Jerry.
Yep.
Both sides of the field knew Joe's going to throw the ball to Jerry. Everybody in the stadium knew Joe's going to throw the ball to Jerry, and he got it done more often than he didn't because he was that guy. Now, he's also the best football player in the history of the game. I mean, so it's easy to make that analogy, but it doesn't mean it's not true in that when Nick raises his hand and says, I'm the highest defensive player in the league, that's when you don't make excuses and you get it done. Now, if you take the top four or five, the previous caller had mentioned T.J. Watt, and I had mentioned it the same to your call screener. When you take the top four or five defensive players, and I told this to my kid too, T.J. Watt, whoever, the top four or five defensive ends in the league, do you not think that those opposing offenses are scheming against them?
Mm-hmm.
They are, but they're getting it done.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're the highest defensive player in the league, you're raising your hand and you're saying, I'm the guy.
Yep.
And when you do that, you hold yourself accountable and you don't make excuses. And you
Troy, that's a hell of a
call. One of the best calls
of the year. That's a hell of a call, and that's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying about Nick Bosa. Nick Bosa's a fabulous player, right? The Niners are better with Nick Bosa than without Nick Bosa. But this is two seasons straight now, and I'm kind of fed up about it. I'm fed up. I'm dead serious, Shasky. This guy held out of camp, and we roasted Ayuk for this, and nobody's going to call about Ayuk today, I guarantee you that, because he finally balled out. He got his 100-yard game, and he ran great routes yesterday.
Dynamic.
Great route runner yesterday. Oh, my gosh, it was beautiful. And he's the true number one on his team. Let's not get it twisted, because Juwan Jennings had a few games. Ayuk's the best wide receiver on this football team, and to me, it's not even close. But I'm getting back to Bosa. Again, I'll recycle this material. When you hold out, and you get $122 million guaranteed, and I hear you make excuses last year. Like, it was all good in the hood. It was all good in the hood when Bosa sat up there in front of the media last year and threw Steve Wilks under the bus. Everybody was cool with it. Just on the pedestal. And Shanahan allowed it. Who's the call we had for Sacramento? Was it JC in Sacramento who said the same thing? He was like a call of the week. And he goes, Shanahan allowed these guys to throw Steve Wilks, a coach on his coaching staff, to get just roasted by his players. So he gets fired a couple days after the Super Bowl, even though defense did their thing in the Super Bowl. And now here we go. After week five, I got to hear from Nick Bosa talking about adjustments. How about you adjust and get to the quarterback?
That being said,
how about you adjust and get and contain in the run game? How about you use some outside containment in that wide nine? How about you contain running backs from getting outside or quarterbacks from getting outside? I don't want to hear it. When you get $122 million and a half guaranteed and you hold out and you get paid as the highest defensive player in NFL history, and you're out there making excuses, talk about we need to make adjustments. I don't want to hear from number 97. Keep that in house. Don't put that out publicly. That to me is another excuse from Nick Bosa. So you know what? The spotlight's bright. It's on him brighter. Because the next 3 weeks, you got Seattle, you got Kansas City, you got Dallas. And I'm going to be watching number 97 very closely to see how he impacts Geno Smith, Patrick Mahomes, and Dak Prescott.
Totally fair. Totally fair. I'm looking at the problems from yesterday's game and overall on this team. I feel like it's more the offense than the defense from yesterday.
This defense is not getting stops. This defense is problematic, Shasky. I'm sorry. They missed 15 tackles yesterday. All right? They can't stop the run. They can't get to the quarterback.
The
situational football.
I know, but they have all the high-priced players on offense, right? So all the high-priced players need to score more. The coach is an offensive coach. Like,
I agree with that.
I don't think the defense is great. I think the personnel stinks. You're right about the missed tackles, and a lot of it was our safeties and linebackers. And the defensive line is getting zero pressure. I hear all of that. Believe me, I'm with you. They also gave up three turnovers. The offense gave up three turnovers.
I agree with that.
Okay? And so, to me, when you get a short-sided field and you give up a field goal, defense does their job there in that situation late in the game.
They did.
Now, the touchdown drive was horrible.
Horrible.
I'm not here to keep up for them.
J.P. Mason fumbled at the 10-yard line.
But it's not just... I'm just saying.
He fumbled at the 10-yard line, and Arizona had no problem getting down the field to set up the game-winning field goal. Hell, they almost got a first down and iced the game.
The third down throw from Kyler was... was just
fourth
crazy.
Down, it's fourth and five, right?
Fourth down, fourth to five,
back foot, back pedaling, blitz in his
face.
It was
amazing.
Boom, but, dime.
But,
wow.
But again, on defense, if you have one or two weak links, the whole defense looks terrible. And so, like, we're learning right now, this defense looks old, slow, and they don't look physical. And when you have that, it's a bad combination. And then they welt. Look, you could say it's not an excuse. It's a factor. That team weltered in the heat. They just completely melted yesterday.
But I'm sorry, Shasky.
No, it's not an excuse.
But you know what? Defense is not perfect at all. It's tough to have a perfect team.
The offense also was horrible.
It is tough to have a perfect team in today's salary cap era. It is what it is. But when I pay you as the highest paid defensive player, I got to be able to count on you to make game-changing plays. Now, to his credit, he had the interception there in the second quarter.
That was a monster
play. That was a hell of a play. Hell of a play.
On a short-sided field.
Hell of a play. That was awesome. That was awesome. All right? But you know what? How many times do I need to see him bite on the quarterback on the RPO? Diving down, crashing down. And he says that, you know, my job is to crash down on the running back. Well, first of all, you're admitting that out loud. So now every team in the league is saying, oh, well, Bosa said it. When we do this, he's coming down on a running back. How about you make the individual adjustment saying, you know what? Forget just doing the assignment. Just make a play.
Well, I don't know. I'm not sophisticated enough on, like, football schemes and responsibilities in the wide nine of what he's exactly supposed to do. I'll take your word for it.
I don't know.
I'm not here to pretend like I know.
You're the highest paid player. You know what's going on here.